This week on Front Seat Cinema, Marvel Studios' biggest gamble to date pays off as Guardians of the Galaxy wows audiences and critics alike and makes a huge splash in the summer box office. Plus, all the post-Comic-Con trailers analyzed, the latest movie and TV news from the past week, and reviews of Guardians of the Galaxy, as well as The Expendables 3. This is Front Seat Cinema, Episode 35. Hello and welcome to episode 35 of BuzzHub's Front Seat Cinema. It's been about 2 weeks since our last episode. Didn't have a chance to record an episode last weekend, although Guardians of the Galaxy was released. I will be reviewing that in a moment and discussing its box office results for opening weekend. But first I'm going to go through some of the news that's happened since our last episode. So, give me a moment. Let me find our last episode. Find out what's happened since. Okay. So I recorded our last episode during Comic-Con. On the last episode I discussed everything that happened during Comic-Con. And now I will discuss everything that's happened since Comic-Con. So there were a bunch of trailers released in the week following Comic-Con, trailers that debuted at Comic-Con. And that makes up a large part of the news of the past few weeks. So we got here the first trailer for Mad Max Fury Road debuted. I was quite impressed with that, actually. It stars Tom Hardy and Charlize Theron. I'm not a particularly big fan of the Mad Max franchise, but this does look really visually stunning. And Tom Hardy, Charlize Theron both look well cast, so we'll see how that does. The next trailer to be released was for The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 1. The first trailer for that hit the web. Very short, it's only about a minute long. Can't say I was incredibly impressed by it. It's a bit of an empty trailer. It's kind of exactly the same as all the trailers for Catching Fire. It doesn't really show a lot of the film. Jennifer Lawrence is barely in it, so it could have been a better trailer, but, you know, I'm sure we'll get a closer look, or a more detailed look at the film very soon. Christopher Walken, he was, of course, cast in the, we discussed a few episodes ago that he was cast in the Peter Pan NBC Live musical. Well, now he's joined Jon Favreau's The Jungle Book. This is the Disney, mostly animated version of The Jungle Book. We've got Ben Kingsley and Scarlett Johansson and Lupita Nyong'o. They're all voicing animals in the film. I believe there's only going to be one live-action character in the film, and it is the young boy who's playing Mowgli, I think is his name. But anyway, Christopher Walken is going to be playing King Louis, the ruler of monkeys and apes, and Giancarlo Esposito from Breaking Bad and Revolution will voice the leader of the wolf pack. So, and also, a few days later then, it was announced that Bill Murray will be voicing Baloo the Bear, which is some of the greatest news of the year. Bill Murray, Christopher Walken, two of my favorite actors, two of the greatest actors in the world, and they're both in this film, and I think it's going to be really great. We also had news about another Jungle Book, and that was the news that Andy Serkis's The Jungle Book, which he is making with Warner Brothers, has gotten a title. It is going to be called The Jungle Book Origins. The Jungle Book : Origins, which is a really, really bad film title. And I will discuss some more bad film titles in a minute. But anyway, that's coming out on October 21st, 2016. I'm going to have to race through some of the news now because there's so much to talk about. Eva Green is in talks to star in Tim Burton's Miss Peregrine's Home for Peculiar Children. Leah Michelle from Glee is going to guest star on AMC's Sons of Anarchy. The next trailer we got was for The Hobbit, The Battle of the Five Armies, the first trailer for that. That was very impressive. I really enjoyed this trailer. Some beautiful images, very reminiscent of Return of the King. We've got some lovely shots of Galadriel and Gandalf, which really hark back to the golden glory days of the Lord of the Rings trilogy. And I am quite excited for this film, despite my serious problems with An Unexpected Journey and my moderate problems with The Desolation of Smaug, although I did really like that film. Joe Cornish, who made Attack the Block, he's of course part of the radio presenting duo Adam and Joe. He's in talks to direct Skull Island, the King Kong reboot that I discussed on the last episode. Iggy Azalea, the Australian rapper, she's going to be making a cameo in Fast and Furious 7. Allison Williams is going to be playing Peter Pan in the NBC Live musical opposite Christopher Walken. Quentin Tarantino officially announced The Hateful Eight is back on. This is going to be his next film. It's coming out in 2015, he says, and he released a teaser poster. The first trailer and poster for Night of the Museum, Secret of the Tomb, starring Ben Stiller, Owen Wilson, Robin Williams, Ricky Gervais, that debuted. And then the big trailer, the big, big trailer, the most exciting trailer of them all to come out after Comic-Con was for Christopher Nolan's Interstellar. This is my number one most anticipated film of the year by far. Well, my number two, number three, and number four were Muppets Most Wanted, The Grand Budapest Hotel, and X-Men Days of Future Past, which have all been released. So Interstellar is, by a long country mile, the film coming out for the rest of the year I am most excited about. And the third trailer gave us an additional look at the film. We got some first footage of the characters of Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway play actually walking on planet surfaces. And it didn't emotionally connect with me as much as the last trailer did. I think the Dario Marinelli music used in the second trailer was absolutely breathtaking. It was beautiful music. But I think this trailer was also really, really great. And unless you completely don't want to be spoiled about the film, I would say, I don't know. I wouldn't recommend that you get any spoilers about this film. I am unfortunately in a position where I have to watch these trailers so I can report on them and do must-pause moments articles. Alex Kurtzman is going to be directing Universal's The Mummy reboot. Not much to say about that. Donald Gleason is going to star in a film called The Revenant opposite Leonardo DiCaprio and Tom Hardy. The next trailer to come out was for the SpongeBob movie Sponge Out of Water. I really disliked this trailer. I think the first half of it is fine. It's all normal 2D animation SpongeBob. And then it's suddenly they come to the real world, or they come to the surface, they become 3D characters. I can deal with that. And then it just has this pornographic shot of a woman in a bikini looking at the camera. And it's just not suitable for a film for young children. It's like turning it into a Michael Bay film, and I don't understand why that's being done. The next trailer then was for Into the Woods. This is Disney's big live-action musical, directed by Rob Marshall, starring Meryl Streep, Johnny Depp. It's an okay trailer. We didn't get a lot of footage. It's a pretty short trailer, but there's no footage of Johnny Depp. He's playing a wolf, and really you only see some of his face. I believe it's a motion capture performance. Grammy winner Lorde is going to curate the soundtrack for The Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1. Universal's Snow White and the Huntsman spin-off The Huntsman got a new release date. New release dates for Paper Towns, The Martian, and Tim Burton's Home for Peculiar Children. We got new posters for Gone Girl. Paul Feig is in talks to helm Ghostbusters 3. This seems to be close to happening, and he also reportedly says he's going to do it with an all-female or primarily female cast, which people have had varying opinions on. Once, as with Mad Max, Ghostbusters, not something I'm a massive fan of, so I'm not going to bother putting my two cents in because they're pretty worthless foreign currency. That analogy does not work. Studio Ghibli scared everybody with a statement which was mistranslated as saying they were going to cease producing feature films. Turns out they're just taking a break, and they're going to try and switch over to a new format. Studio Ghibli, of course, are the Japanese studio founded by Hayao Miyazaki, and they are one of the most highly respected film, at least animation, if not film studios, in the world. They are definitely, along with Pixar, one of the two most highly respected animation studios. We got two first stills from Tim Burton's new film, Big Eyes, before he does Peculiar Children. This has got Amy Adams, Christoph Waltz coming out on Christmas Day. The trailer, I expect, will be out before our next episode. Nickelodeon and Paramount are teaming up for a School of Rock TV series. This is not good. No. Nickelodeon really don't know how to make good live-action programs anymore. I mean, iCarly, Drake and Josh, Victorious, all the highlights of the last decade. Apart from that, their live-action programming is really something terrible, and this will undoubtedly be unwatchably bad. Vince Vaughn is reportedly going to have a role in True Detective Season 2, although he's not said to be playing one of the actual detectives. But the creator, Nick, I don't know what his surname is right now, begins with a P, it's quite long. He's said that he wrote the role specifically for Vaughn, and I believe he's worked with him before, and rumored to be playing the detectives are Taylor Kitsch and Elizabeth Moss and Colin Farrell. Well, not Elizabeth Moss is just mildly rumored. I doubt she'll get that role, but anyway. And the, of course, we found out a few months ago, Stephen Colbert would be taking over from David Letterman on The Late Show. Well, who's going to be taking over on The Late Show from Craig Ferguson, who's also stepping down this year? Well, the answer is James Corden. James Corden, you may not know him if you're from outside of the UK or Ireland, but in the UK, and by default Ireland, because we get UK TV here, he is very well known. He's been hosting loads of shows over the years. He was on the sitcom Gavin and Stacey. I am quite a big fan of James Corden. A few years back, I actually listened in its entirety to the audiobook of his autobiography that he recorded and very much enjoyed it. And he's a very good actor, and he's a very good comedian, and I'm really happy to see him get this big break and in the US. And he's been in some films recently. He's in he was in a film called One Chance about an opera singer who won Britain's Got Talent. Not a great film, but he was okay in it. He was charming. And he was also in Begin Again in a medium-sized role. Ricky Gervais, another British comedian, he's planning a film called David Brent, Life on the Road, about David Brent, his character from The Office. He's been doing some YouTube channel guitar lesson stuff with his character for a few years. He can't really let him go, and now he's doing a film, but it might just be a BBC film, but yeah. Terminator 5, for years, well, for about a year now, everyone has thought it would be called Terminator Genesis. Turns out it is called Terminator Genesis, but not the Genesis we know. No, no, Genesis in this context is spelled G-E-N-I-S-Y-S, which, in my opinion, is completely stupid. It is obviously relevant to the film, but just call it Genesis, the normal spelling. Come on, guys. Kingsman The Secret Service pushed back from October to February 13th, so it's opening the same weekend now as both Fifty Shades of Grey and SpongeBob, Sponge Out of Water. That's a big weekend next year. And this, there were a bunch of delays and release date switcheroos. This is the big one. Batman v Superman Dawn of Justice moves again. For some reason, DC decided not to announce this at Comic-Con. They waited 2 weeks. Why did they wait 2 weeks? Well, it seems like they waited 2 weeks because Guardians of the Galaxy, they were waiting to see if that was a hit or not. It was a huge success, and hence they moved out of Captain America 3's way. They have moved. They were clashing Captain America 3, of course, in May, but now they are opening 2 months, month and a half earlier, on March 25th, 2016. And immediately after this, Warner Brothers and DC announced a bunch of mystery release dates. I don't know why they didn't do this at Comic-Con, because this doesn't seem in any way relevant to Guardians of the Galaxy success, but they released mystery release dates on August 5th, 2016, June 23rd, 2017, November 11th, 2017, March 23rd, 2018, July 27th, 2018, April 5th, 2019, June 14th, 2019, April 3rd, 2020, and June 19th, 2020. They've also scheduled two release dates for non-DC Warner Brothers event films, November 16th, 2018, and November 20th, 2020, and these are 100% undoubtedly release dates for the two sequels to J.K. Rowling's Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them, because that is set for November 2016, and two-year gaps opening Thanksgiving. That is set to be a trilogy, so that is, so there you go. You have your release dates for the Fantastic Beasts sequels, and for all those DC comic films. I just don't know why they didn't announce those DC dates at Comic-Con, just to give something. Robert Zemeckis' new film is called To Reach the Clouds. It's sort of a feature adaptation of the documentary Man on Wire about Philippe Petit, and Robert Zemeckis has this film coming out. It's got Joseph Gordon-Levitt, Ben Schwartz. I am really looking forward to it, but it was called To Reach the Clouds. Now it's called The Walk, and it is opening in October 2015. And that looks really, really interesting. We got some stills from that. Disney Channel renewed Girl Meets World for a second season. This is, of course, the sequel show to Boy Meets World, popularity sitcom. I never watched that. I never watched this. But Disney seemed happy with its results. There's an article I wrote yesterday called Gods and Kingsmen, 2014's Worst Movie Titles, and basically I wrote this article as a big list of all the really bad movie titles this year and how they could be improved, including Kingsmen the Secret Service, Exodus, Gods and Kings, Jupiter Ascending, the second best exotic Marigold Hotel, Frank Miller's Sin City, A Dame to Kill For. Some of these titles are grammatical, some of them are just too long, some of them were changed for legal reasons, but I say what's wrong with them, what the film is, and how they could be improved. So check that out. Go to BuzzFeed. They're called Gods and Kingsmen. Jeffrey Wright, Rodrigo Santoro, and several others have joined HBO's Westworld. This is a co-production between Bad Robot, J.J. Abrams' company, and Jonah Nolan, and it already stars, set to star, Anthony Hopkins and Evan Rachel Wood. So I am looking forward to this. Westworld, of course, was originally a Yul Brynner film, sci-fi western. Another delay, The Interview, the Seth Rogen and James Franco film about the assassination of Kim Jong-un, which has angered the North Korean government, it has moved from October to Christmas Day. So, like Kingsman, another film that has moved out of October, clearly not a good month to release films. And that is the news. That is all the big news. So, I will move on now to box office, briefly, and tell you how Guardians of the Galaxy did in its opening weekend. And I will tell you that it did unbelievably well. After an entire month where the box office was down from last year, things picked up. They really picked up for the first weekend of August as Marvel Studios and Walt Disney Pictures released James Gunn's take on Guardians of the Galaxy, starring Chris Pratt, Zoe Saldana, Bautista, Lee Pace, Karen Gillan, the voices of Vin Diesel and Bradley Cooper, which set a new August opening record with an estimated $94 million from 4,080 theaters, capitalizing on solid reviews, 91% Rotten Tomatoes, and BuzzHub's very good review, and an A cinema score. Guardians built on its $37.8 million opening day to achieve the third biggest opening of the year, averaging $23,000 per location. Guardians' estimated opening puts it just behind Marvel Studios' earlier release, Captain America the Winter Soldier, but puts it ahead of the latest installment of other long-running superhero franchises, Amazing Spider-Man 2 and X-Men Days of Future Past. The previous August record of $69 million was set by The Bourne Ultimatum in 2007, which itself beat Rush Hour 2's record from 2001. 3D accounted for 45% of Guardians' amount, and Guardians took in $66.4 million overseas, with 13 from Russia, 10.8 from the UK, and 6.5 from Mexico. So that's how Guardians did incredibly well. Luc Besson's Lucy, starring Scarlett Johansson, dropped significantly in the second weekend, taking second place with $18.3 million. The James Brown biopic Get On Up opened with a somewhat disappointing $14 million, and Dwayne Johnson and Brett Ratner's Hercules dropped to fourth place with $10.7 million. So, Guardians of the Galaxy. I was really looking forward to this, and I really enjoyed it. I've got to say, it was better than Captain America Winter Soldier, better than Thor the Dark World, better than Iron Man 3. It is the best film of Marvel Phase 2 so far. It's my favorite, anyway. If not the best, you know, my favorite, the best. Opinions, are they the same? Are they different? Anyway, it is great. It is not really great. It's not Dawn of the Planet of the Apes great, or Edge of Tomorrow great. But it's pretty great. It's a 4-star film, a very high 4-star film, whereas Dawn of the Apes, I feel, is a low 5-star film, and Edge of Tomorrow is a medium 5-star film. Boyhood and Gravity, high 5-star films. But anyway, if we did half ratings, which we are, can I just give you a bit of behind-the-scenes information? We are considering strongly introducing half-star ratings on BuzzHub, so if this went under that system, Guardians would probably be a 4.5, as would Apes. So there you go, little fun tidbit. So Guardians of the Galaxy, anyway, definitely better than X-Men Days of Future Past, I'd say just about, definitely better than Captain America the Winter Soldier, and also better than The Amazing Spider-Man 2. This is just absolute buckets of fun. I think James Gunn has done a really great job just balancing action and humor with this film that I don't think Marvel have been doing very well with since The Avengers. The Avengers is still the best of their films by far, and it's still a lot better than this, but anyway. The cast all around, really great. I've always been a fan of Chris Pratt, and I think he just does superb work here as the leading man, as Peter Quill. We've got Zoe Saldana and Dave Bautista, very good. But the best characters in the whole film, undoubtedly, Groot and Rocket Raccoon. Groot in particular, I absolutely love these characters. I made such an emotional connection with them. I mean, if Dawn of the Planet of the Apes hadn't come out this year, they would undoubtedly be the best CGI characters of the year, but Caesar is a bit more complex, I think. But still, Groot is such an emotionally engaging presence on screen, and with Rocket Raccoon, I think Bradley Cooper has done a superb job with the voice work. Really, really great. And I just had absolute... I've seen this film twice, can I say, which is very rare. I usually don't go to see films in the theatre twice. It's not that I love... I mean, I think Dawn of the Planet of the Apes and Edge of Tomorrow are superior blockbusters to this and superior films, but I just had so much fun watching this. I had to go back and see it again. I enjoyed it equally the second time. It really does hold up in multiple viewings. There's so many little witty little gags and side references and jokes in this. It really needs to be seen a couple of times to be fully appreciated, I feel. But Groot and Rocket Raccoon, some of my favorite characters of the past few years, they're just a load of fun. In terms of the characters, a couple of problems I had. I think Lee Pace's Ronan the Accuser and Karen Gillan's Nebula are both incredibly weak villains, especially Ronan. I think he looks cool, but his character is completely underdeveloped. He has absolutely no personality. As with most of the recent Marvel villains there, well, except for maybe Robert Redford. Spoiler alert for Captain America Winter Soldier, I think Robert Redford was a pretty good villain in that film. But I think most of Marvel villains aren't great in the personality side, nowhere near, or Loki, of course, was, but apart from him, I don't think any of the recent ones have been. So I had problems with those characters, but in general, I had so much fun watching this. The soundtrack is great, the pop culture references are really clever and unexpected. I think it looks beautiful. I think the script is really tight and really well constructed. I just couldn't recommend this film highly enough. I don't think I need to defend it because everyone else seems to love it too. It's up there in the 90s, or at least in the high 80s on Rotten Tomatoes. And it seems audiences are responding incredibly well to it because of both its box office takings and also its, you know, its just general reaction seems to be everyone loves Groot and Rocket Raccoon. It's currently on 92% on Rotten Tomatoes and Dawn of the Apes is on 91%, so that's very impressive. So anyway, need I say more? Go to see Guardians of the Galaxy if you haven't already. It's really great. One of the best films of the year. The other film I am going to review briefly now is The Expendables 3. The Expendables 3, big story to come out of this film, is that it was actually leaked, apparently, on like piracy sites, torrent sites, a few weeks ago. I talked about this on the last episode. But anyway, we'll see next weekend if that harms the film's box office in the US or not. I really hope it doesn't. Am I saying that? I'm not really supporting this film. Let's say, you know, piracy's awful. I hope that a film doesn't get really hurt by piracy. But this film, is this a film I, you know, if Guardians of the Galaxy was leaked, I'd be like, no, I want Marvel to make loads of money from this. I want the actors to get paid. Not a big fan of The Expendables 3. Not a good film. 2-star... review, I'll say again, probably 1.5 star review if we were doing half stars. There's just too many characters in this. Most of the actually decent actors, like Wesley Snipes, Harrison Ford, even Jason Statham to a certain extent, are all completely underused. Sylvester Stallone is back, he's in the lead role, he wrote the script. Arnold Schwarzenegger says, "Get to the chopper!" at one point. It's that kind of film. Terry Crews is in here. He's always fun. I'll say a few good things about it. I'll say what I liked about this film. Terry Crews is a lot of fun. He's not in it that much. But when he is, he's a lot of fun. I think the opening action sequence, which involves a robbery or like a prison break on a train where Wesley Snipes' character gets broken off a train, I think that's really fun to watch and I really enjoyed that. But that lasts about 4 minutes. And then the rest of the film, I was pretty much bored, senseless. I mean, Mel Gibson turns up as a evil megalomaniac called Conrad Stonebanks. And I think Mel Gibson, in outside of his films, is a despicable human being. And I have no interest in supporting his film career. Harrison Ford is in this... very briefly. I'm a big Harrison Ford fan, but he's barely in this, barely registers. Jet Li gets third billing on the cast. It's starring Sylvester Stallone, Jason Statham, Jet Li. Jet Li is in this for, I think I counted, like 1 minute and 58 seconds or something. And Ronda Rousey is the only female character. As I say in my review, our only purpose is to wear a form-fitting jumpsuit and jump around. She has about two lines, completely true. Antonio Banderas probably tries hardest. If I had to compliment anyone apart from, you know, Terry Crews, I think Antonio Banderas does try his best, and I don't think he succeeds. I don't think his character is very strong, but I think he tries his best, and I think he is occasionally enjoyable to watch in this film. I don't want to praise it too much. I'm just going to say I really would, when there are films like Dawn of the Planet of the Apes, Guardians of the Galaxy, Boyhood, all in cinemas right now, why would you waste your time going to see this? I know it has a lot of famous actors in it, but most of the people on the poster are barely in the film, especially, you know, Harrison Ford and Jet Li, barely in the film at all. And there's just nothing fun in it at all. There's only one good action scene. The rest of it is incredibly boring. Kelsey Grammer turns up for no reason, disappears. There's really no point watching it. I'm not going to recommend you go see this film. Why would I? I didn't enjoy it, and I don't think anyone will. So don't waste your money on The Expendables 3 next weekend. But this weekend in the US, we've got Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. I haven't seen this. I'm not planning on seeing it. I can think of so many other things I'd rather spend, you know, 2.5 hours of my life doing than paying to see this film or going to see this film. So I'm not going to go see it. That's the end of episode 35 of Front Seat Cinema. We'll be back next week. We only have about 2 episodes left before the end of the summer. 3 maybe. 2 episodes left, I believe, before the end of the summer. And then we will revert back to our kind of weird release schedule where I only do 1 episode every month or so, which is kind of depressing. I like doing these monthly releases, or weekly releases, but once the summer ends and it's September, I get very, very busy with my other podcasts. And much more. So check out my other podcasts. Actually, don't, because they're not currently releasing episodes, but go back, listen to archived episodes of Revolutionary and The Jimmy and Luke Show. Visit BuzzFeed.info for the latest reviews, maybe of Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, if one of the other writers can go to see it. And all the other news, reviews, podcasts, box office, stuff like that. You can follow me on Twitter. I am at Revolutionary, or EVOLUCIENARY. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.